Good morning. Our text for today's message is taken from today's gospel. Peter comes to Jesus. He says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, he was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But then that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So far the text. A lot of the understanding of this text, like a lot of the text, has to do with context. I found a couple examples of church announcements that you can understand them one way or another. It just depends on the context. Again, a church announcement. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. Now you see how that can be taken as an insult, right? At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Again, you can see how that would be an insult as well. Or, the Reverend Merriweather spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. You see, all of these can be taken two ways, but it has to do with the context. Now I think Peter makes his mistake at the beginning of this text, because of context. He tries to quantify forgiveness. He says to Jesus, you know, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? Seven times. Now, I think he's being very generous there. If someone sinned against me seven times, it would be very hard that seventh time to forgive from my heart. But even though that's pretty generous, Jesus says, absolutely not. You cannot quantify forgiveness. So how could Peter get this idea? I think it's from verses 15 through 20, which is why I think 15 through 20 should really be part of the text we have today. Because in 15 through 20, it sounds like Jesus is quantifying forgiveness. He says, you know, this is what you do if someone sins against you. First, you go to that person with their sin. If that doesn't work, you bring a couple other people along, step two. If that doesn't work, step three, you bring them to the church. And if they still don't confess and ask for forgiveness, then you treat them, step four, as a tax collector or a sinner. Now, I can't tell you for how many years and how many churches these verses have been misused, seeing that these verses are about church discipline, and this is how you get someone out of the church, how you kick them out of the church. Not the truth. First of all, verses 15 through 20 are very different than 21 through 22. 15 through 20 are talking about leading a person to repentance. 21 through 22 is talking about forgiveness. And I could even say that 15 through 20, this church discipline verses, that even talks about forgiveness too, because Jesus says then if the person doesn't repent, what? You treat them as a tax collector and a sinner. Well, how did Jesus do that? That's what we have to look at. Jesus doesn't point at these people in their sin and say, I judge you, you are out of the kingdom of God, or, as happens in churches nowadays, I judge you, you are excommunicated. He doesn't do that. That's not how he treats tax collectors and sinners. He also doesn't say, hey, I accept you exactly the way you are. I mean, that's a modern misconception of how Jesus dealt with sinners. He never says that, right, in the scriptures, ever. So let's just take an example of a sinner. The woman caught in adultery. An example of a tax collector, Zacchaeus. In both cases, Jesus doesn't judge them out of the kingdom. In both cases, Jesus doesn't accept what they are doing. Commit more adultery, steal more from people. Doesn't do that. Instead, he transforms their life in forgiveness, and they become new people. Jesus says to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." He shows an incredible sacrificial grace by going into the house of Zacchaeus, and obviously forgiveness took place there because Zacchaeus was transformed forever. In fact, I think we really have to say that verse 19 of last week's text is also about forgiveness. Jesus said, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Boy, can those words be taken out of context, right? I mean, I'm going to St. Louis, probably already there, or close. Six of my friends are going to be there. Now, I could sit down with my six friends, and the seven of us could agree that I should have a Porsche 911. I know they would agree to that. Now, does that mean when I get home, there'll be a Porsche 911 parked in my house? And I can trade it off from the Toyota Camry? No, there will not be a Porsche 911 waiting for me. Why? Because the context of what Jesus is saying here has to do with repentance and has to do with forgiveness. If any two agree on these things. So now really to back up his point about what why we forgive and how we have the power to forgive, Jesus tells this parable. It's a parable about a king who is settling accounts with one of his servants. And it says the servant owes him so many talents in our money. He owes $226 million. And he says, "You can't pay." And the guy says, "Have mercy on me." Right? He can't pay it back. What's really interesting is how he says it. He says, "Have mercy on me. Give me the time to pay you back." Well, I did a little math. I do that once in a while. And I saw how much $226 million is. Now, if there is no interest added, I could pay that debt off in about 50 of my lifetimes. That's starting when I'm a baby all the way until I go to 80 years old. Okay. In other words, the point Jesus is making here by making it such a huge amount is it's impossible for this man to pay it back. And yet he's asking for the time to do so. The king, seeing the situation, has compassion and forgives the debt totally. And so what does this guy do? He runs, grabs someone who owes him the equivalent of $3,000. And that guy says the exact same thing as he did, just maybe an hour or two before. "Have mercy on me, give me time, and I'll repay you everything." What's interesting is this servant doesn't even ring a bell that he's using the exact same words that he said. Never dawns on it. And so he throws him in prison. And when the king finds out, he basically is furious, reinstates the debt, sends the man to a torture where he can never repay anything. And that's our parable. Now, of course, the big question we have to ask is, why was this servant who owed so much, $226 million, forgiven? Why was he in such a hurry to earn money? There's only one answer. Because he thought he still needed to pay, and he thought he could pay, both of which were false. In other words, he never acknowledged the grace that the king had shown him. And because he never felt that debt was forgiven, he never forgave others. The power to forgive comes from the faith that allows us to see that both of these things are true. Number one, the debt that we have in sin is something we can never repay. And secondly, it has been paid in full. That's what we see when we go to the cross and we see Jesus dying on it. It's to cover our sin, to cover our debt, to wipe that debt out for good. And when we see that, we don't approach a text like this where it's saying, "Well, God's forgiven you, you better forgive one another, or this is going to..." No, that's not how we do it. We're transformed by forgiveness into people who not don't just forgive, but people who are forgiving. In faith, when we see how much has been forgiven us, then we are transformed into people who can forgive. Like the woman caught in adultery, like Zacchaeus, like Peter. That's the case for each and every one of us. That doesn't mean forgiveness is easy. It's not easy for Christians either. There are even times in our lives where we are not at a point where we can forgive. We have to grow towards that point. And then we ask God to forgive on our behalf. But the forgiveness is defining who we are. We are a people who forgive because so much has been forgiven of us. And that journey of forgiveness and journey of transformation begins at the cross. Pray that the Lord bless you this day and bless you always. In Jesus' name, amen.